He's right there. The presence of God is there. He is so faithful. So, you know, I just like, you know, as soon as I turned the no deal deal thing off and prayed, God was right there. But I was really grieved because I thought, Lord, you should not have to wait for me to finish watching a goofy show before I spend time with you. Am I saying no television? No, I'm saying you have to start to recognize if it's the flesh or the spirit, and then it's your choice to ask the spirit to be in charge. It says, there's no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the spirit. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus set me free from the law of sin and death. For the law, being powerless in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and concerning sin, condemned sin in the flesh, so that the righteous demand of the law might be fulfilled in us, those not walking according to flesh, but according to the spirit. We see a really powerful repetition here of Paul making the point, if you choose to walk after the spirit, if you choose to walk after the spirit, if you choose to walk after the spirit, then the law of death isn't working. If you choose to walk after the spirit, then condemnation isn't in your life. Do you see that? Because a lot of times I've heard this preached as if this is discounts for everybody who's ever been saved. But after you're saved, you have to make the choice. You have to make the real daily, hourly, minute-by-minute choice to walk after the Spirit. Okay? That's not legalism. What's legalism? Legalism is taking the laws of good behavior that God has placed in his word, and by your flesh, doing them all. It's not about a heart that's trying to please God. It's not about a heart that's being empowered by God. It's about trying to follow all the rules, thinking that if you do that, that's all that God's requiring. And what this is telling us, actually right here in verse 3, is the law by itself, because the flesh is weak, you're going to find out that it's impossible to fulfill it. It's impossible to do all the right things all the time that God has placed in his word by your flesh. Your flesh cannot do it. And that's why Jesus Christ had to come in the flesh and walk as we walked. What did Jesus Christ coming in the flesh prove? That it can be done. He proved that you can make a conscious choice to be led by the Spirit if you're born again. See, Jesus Christ was born again. He didn't have to be born again. He was born of the Spirit, and he never lost that. And he was born as Adam was created, in the sense with the Holy Spirit in him leading him. In perfect unity with the Father, unison with the Father. And he chose not to disobey the Holy Spirit, even when he was tempted, even when flesh, sinful things came at him. He chose to say no to it and to say yes to God. No, yes to God. No to that. Yes to God. No to that. Yes to God. He was tempted in every way. He was tempted to do any of the things that you've done that you know would not please God. But he was able to say no. And he was able to fulfill the law. Why? Because the Holy Spirit in him gave him the empowerment to say no and to walk that out. Now that you're born again, if the Holy Spirit lives in you, and how do you get the Holy Spirit live in you? You believe in Jesus Christ. You recognize you can't do this without him. You ask him to come into your heart and save you. And then you recognize that the Holy Spirit lives in you, and you confess that with your mouth. And in that process, you now have to realize that Jesus Christ is Lord. And in his lordship, he should have your total submission to what he wants for your life. But he'll never force it on you, because that would take away your choice to choose. Okay? But I think sometimes we just have to get this revelation that we have a choice to choose, because I think sometimes some of the teaching we hear makes it sound so spiritual that it's just, woo, la, 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 everything's so spiritual. And something's wrong with you if you're not there. And then the other way you hear it taught is legalism. And you're always trying to follow rules and you're always failing. But God wants you to know that His Spirit inside of you is just waiting to be in charge of your life and to keep you from sin. So that's the part where you need grace. You know, Lord, help me to do what you want me to do today. Help me to be in your perfect will today. Help everything that I do be where you want me to be. And Lord, you order my steps. And then as you start walking that out, you'll find out that God doesn't make it so you don't have any fun. God doesn't make it so your life is boring and you know, unless he wants to put somebody in one room for their whole life praying. And if that's what he's doing in their life, then they're going to love that. But overall, you just walk out every day. You know, you plan your plans, you pray about it, and you ask the Holy Spirit to be there. And you ask the Holy Spirit to show you what to do. And you ask the Holy Spirit to help you. And you go after the Spirit. Okay, you go after the Spirit in your day-to-day life. You go after the Spirit. You go after the Spirit in your day-to-day life. And sometimes if you make that if you decide you're going to do that, you might find out your flesh rises up sometimes and says, I don't want to. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And that's where we need to say, well, you know what, flesh? You're overruled. I'm not in agreement with you. See, we've talked about not being in agreement with demonic stuff. We've talked about, you know, how, and that's harder, okay? The demonic stuff comes in. As you sin with your flesh, you open up yourself to demons. And then when demons get in, they own you and they act like they own you. And so they have to be cast out. You have to take authority over them. You have to break the power of their lies and you have to cast them out. But the flesh in and of itself can't be cast out. It has to be crucified. You have to make a choice to not be led by it. And you can do that. And that's part of getting your mind renewed and getting your mind into the things of the Spirit. Okay. Verse 5. Romans 8, 5. For the ones that are according to flesh. Now listen to this. The ones that are according to the flesh mind the things of the flesh. And the ones according to the Spirit mind the things of the Spirit. So we could tell pretty quick where your mind's at. Do you think more about God, the kingdom of heaven, souls being saved, moving in the things of the Spirit, seeing God's glory come? Do you think more about God and the things of the kingdom of God, or do you think more about the things of the world? And that'll tell you really quick if you're led of the Spirit or led by the flesh. So after you accept Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of you, now you have a daily choice of deciding who is going to be in charge of your life that day. You and your flesh, or the Holy Spirit working through you. You get to choose that. So I really think we need to take more time when we get up in the morning to make some serious surrender to God. And see what the Lord wants to do. See how he wants to order our steps. I think when the enemy tries to get you to fall into sin, I think you need to stop and take authority in your mind and ask the Lord to help you to say no. Hit the remote control. Say no to the dessert menu. Whatever it is. Some of you are struggling with sin issues. Blatant sin issues. You need to fast those things. You need to say no to those things. You need to take authority of those things. You need to ask God for grace and mercy until that thing has no power in your life. And then cast the thing out so that it's not even in there anymore. All right. So right now you can look at yourself and say, do I have a mind that goes after the things of the flesh? Or do I have a mind that goes after the things of the Spirit? If you're growing in the Lord, you should recognize that the things of the Spirit begin to take over more of your thinking and your time than the things of the flesh. And this isn't talking about full-time ministry. We have the wrong understanding in the body of Christ that there are the ministers And they're supposed to be spiritual. And then there's the everyday people who are only supposed to be spiritual on Sunday morning and maybe one night a week. And that's just such a life in the pit of hell. You are to be just as spiritually minded on your job. And someone who's in ministry could be very fleshly minded even though they're in ministry. It's just where they go for their job. If that's how they feel about it, then that's just as worldly. If they run it like a business, if they run it like a job, then it's no different. But every day you need to get up and you need to take authority and say, Lord, I surrender my flesh to you today. And Holy Spirit, make something happen today that I'm going to know that I know that I know that you did it. Set up an appointment today with me, a divine appointment to minister to somebody. Lord, make a way for me to give somebody that CD that we're giving out here on Knowing Christ. Show me how to do that today where I'll know it was you and it wasn't my flesh just trying to get past having a handful of these things in my pocketbook. Lord, show me. Show me when something comes along today that would normally cause my flesh to react. Show me how to get in the Spirit. And to the place that you're able to walk in the Spirit, live in the Spirit, especially when crisis hit, go to the Spirit, will be the witness to people that there's something different about your life. And it's a surrender. It is a surrender. It isn't following rules and regulations. It's a total surrender. And then He is inside of you, keeping you in the Spirit. He is inside of you, working out His good pleasure, working out His will for your life. Okay. Verse 6. For the mind of the flesh is death, but the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind of the flesh is enemy towards God. For it is not being subjected to the law of God, for neither can it be. And those being in the flesh are not able to please God. Sounds like the flesh, without God being in charge, is not a good thing. Even people who eat of the tree of good, who think they've got it all together, they think they're so smart, they think there's all these different religions that are okay, they embrace every reprobate thing that Satan brings down the pike, and they try to spiritualize it and make it sound so intellectually superior to what a Christian would believe. But God wants you to know, in your flesh, without Him being in charge of that flesh, your flesh will take you to hell. Your flesh will serve you and serve the enemy instead of serving God. So my prayer is that we begin to get serious about fasting things in the flesh. And some of you need to go on a fast. Some of you need to set aside time just to seek after God with all your heart, especially if you're in situations where you need a breakthrough. Some of you need to do what Karen and I are doing. God, she said last night, she was sitting there, and she said the same thing, and we didn't even talk. And she said, you know, I'm watching too much TV. And for our too much TV, we're talking a couple hours a week. But that doesn't matter. It's TV time that I'm sitting there going, I should be going after God and not doing this. And it doesn't, and I feel grieved afterwards. And I see this flesh being so stubborn, it sounds like a spoiled kid going, I'll read the Bible when this is over, you know. God doesn't care, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, shut up. I said, at the same time, we came in this morning, this afternoon, I came in, Karen came this morning. But I said, I'm giving up sweets and I'm giving up TV for 1 month, maybe longer, but 1 month for sure. And Karen said, I told God the same thing last night. I told God the same thing last night. Some of you need to pray about, what should I say no to so I can learn to make my flesh know it's not in charge? And it's something you're doing so that you can see that you have authority over the flesh in Christ. Now, when the Holy Spirit gets in agreement with that thing, then He makes it really simple. God had me fast pork for like a couple of years. And I know when I went to Russia, if I had eaten the pork, I'd probably been sick like everybody else on the trip. And I was determined Because you didn't know what the food was. That's mystery meat. So if I didn't know for sure it wasn't pork, I didn't eat it. So I didn't eat a lot of things. Lost a lot of weight. I think I lost 21 pounds in 3 weeks. But my clothes were spinning around. But I didn't get sick and I didn't get food poisoning. But God gave me such grace that when the Lord lifted that fast and said I could eat pork again, I thought, are you sure, God? He said, it's not about sacrifice, it's about obedience. So even as you seek the Lord about what he would have you to get your flesh under control by giving up or whatever, he has to be in charge of that still. God's not going, oh, isn't that nice that Karen and Cindy aren't eating cookies? Look at them not eating cookies for me. That's not how it works. God's not sitting there going, isn't that great of them? Oh, come here, angels. Look at this. Oh, look, Cindy and Karen aren't eating cookies just for me. No, no. We're not eating cookies because we are wanting them more than we should want them. And they're not making us feel as healthy as we would feel if we didn't eat them. See, we're not eating cookies for us. Do you get what I'm saying? If we were not eating cookies for God, we'd be missing it. God is not trying to cause you to come under bondage of what you do and don't do. You have to make the decision of where you see your flesh being in charge. And then you make the decision to not let the flesh be in charge. And then you ask the Holy Spirit to give you grace and to give you power and to help you to fast that thing. Do you see the difference? It's what you need to do. It's not about him. All right. Now he says, then he goes on to say, and those being in the flesh are not able to please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone has not the Spirit of Christ, this one is not his. It's very easy to know who's saved. You have to have the Holy Spirit inside of you. There has to be a real change in your life that God is inside of you, and he is able to take care of you, to rule in you, and to change you. And you really sincerely surrender to Jesus and his Lordship and ask the Holy Spirit to take over in your life. But if Christ is in you, the body indeed is dead because of sin, but the Spirit in life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of the one having raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, the one having raised the Christ from the dead will also make your mortal body live through the indwelling of his Spirit in you. So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to flesh, you are going to die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the practices of the body, you will live. What he's telling you here is if you keep giving into the flesh and letting sin be in charge of your life, and that flesh takes you into sin and keeps you in sin and you don't get away from sin, this really sounds like you're not going to be going to heaven. And so we need to not buy into a doctrine that makes people think that as long as they go to an altar call, God's not requiring them to then live out that life. He is Lord. He is Lord. That doesn't mean you're condemned if you fall. It doesn't mean you're condemned if you fail. It means you need to at least be going after God with all your heart and letting God help you get free, letting the fivefold ministry pour into your life so you can get free. See, the difference in a hypocrite and a person who is struggling with sin is a hypocrite thinks that they're okay with God in the midst of their sin and he doesn't mind. Or they even hide the sin. But a true believer who's struggling with sin, God is right there with them, wanting them to get the victory. Not only wanting them to get the victory, but he's made the way for them to get the victory. And what he's telling us in this teaching tonight is you just have to get your flesh to agree with God. You have to choose. You have to choose. You have to make the choice to trust God. And let me tell you this. Your flesh is going to want to keep you in sin. Your flesh is going to want to keep the enemy in charge of your life. You're going to have to raise up people and start fighting this thing. If you've got a blatant sin issue such as drinking or alcohol or chewing tobacco or cursing or any of these blatant fornication, any blatant sin issue in your life, you better know that Christ in you is greater than that sin. And you need to surrender. You need to get in charge of your flesh and say, flesh, it's over for you enjoying that sin. It's over for you thinking that God's looking the other way. I'm not allowing you to sin anymore by God's grace. And then you need to spend time praying and seeking God and crying out to God, especially if the enemy starts to tempt you in that sin area. If it's cigarettes or whatever, you need to throw them away and stay away from those stores. If it's cussing and hanging out with people who you shouldn't hang out with, then stay away from that situation. You need to do everything that you can do in your flesh to not give into it. And then you ask the Holy Spirit to really deliver you, for him to help you. Does everybody get this? It's like we've kind of come up with doctrine where it's either or. Either God totally delivers me, or it's okay to stay in sin. And you act as if you don't have a say in it. You know how I know that anyone in here who has a problem with smoking cigarettes, drinking, doing drugs or whatever, if they throw you behind in jail, guess what? You're not doing it. Isn't that amazing?